Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Talking Puck Podcast. Tom Callahan, Jay Levin here with you, and this is a series, one of four podcasts. We're going to look at each division in the National Hockey League, and for the purpose of this podcast, we are going to suppose, assume, whatever word you like to use, that the NHL is indeed going to come back and finish the 19-20 season. So I am at Callahan on air on Twitter. He is at Bowtie Sports. Jay, we're going to start with the Eastern Conference, so let's kick it off with the Metropolitan Division. Give me one team that you think is going to be helped the most by this break, and then at the end, if you want, for bonus points, you can throw in a team that you think might be hurt the most by the break.
When it comes to the Metro Division, one team really stands out here, and that's the Columbus Blue Jackets. If you look at them, you know, right now they're on the playoff cut line. They're technically the number two wild card team. New York Islanders 1 point behind them. Islanders have two games at hand with the Blue Jackets. So Blue Jackets kind of like in a little bit of a precarious situation, but they're right there on the cut line. They were decimated with injuries at the time when the season took a pause. And now you're looking like most of those guys should be back. Up front, Cam Atkinson, Alex Texier, Oliver Bjorkstrand. So those are three guys who play big roles for them up front. Then on the back end, Seth Jones. Jones is, when healthy, a number one caliber defenseman. Dean Kukin, also likely to be back. So, you know, you look like five important pieces of the lineup coming back in. That, to me, radically changes the roster that Columbus is going to be playing with for whatever games remain in this season.
I like the pick of Columbus. I like your reasons. And I think that, yes, they are definitely going to be impacted by it. Plus, this is a team that really had to scrap its way to everything they've earned this year. A rest would do them good. You look at a team, any John Tortorella coach team is based on hustle, effort, desire, and all of those things take a toll on you. You have to play a hard style. You have to be able to play defensive hockey, and it can be a grind on you. I agree that this is a good refresh for the Blue Jackets, but they're not my pick for the Metropolitan Division. However, similarly, for the reason of injuries, I'm picking the Pittsburgh Penguins. I look at the Penguins from a standpoint of this is a team that could not possibly have a better returning player to the lineup than Jake Guentzel, a guy they really missed. But aside from Guentzel, and I'll come back to him, look at all of the man games this team lost to injury this year. At various times, they had Hornqvist, Malkin, Crosby, Guentzel, all these top names. And you know, Chris Letang is going to come back onto that list one way or another because he always does. But even at the break, in the middle of March, you had Nick Bjugstad getting hurt. Brandon Tanev got sick. Dominic Simone was injured. Jerry McCann was injured. Zachary Aston-Reese was injured. The list goes on and on for the Penguins. It's unbelievable to me how the Penguins stayed anywhere near the top of the standings, let alone our nip-tuck with Washington and Philadelphia. As we are in the middle of the pause right now, Washington, Philly, and Pittsburgh all have played 69 games. The points are Washington 90, Philly 89, Pittsburgh 86. To me, that's astounding. I cannot believe the Penguins have been that good with everything they've had to overcome. And getting everybody back, everybody healthy for what is kind of the start of another season should scare a lot of other teams in the National Hockey League because they found a way to get it done anyway. And they were also 3-7 heading into the break, I think, or the pause. I think the pause actually helped them out quite a bit. They were sliding. They were struggling. Now they get a chance with a resumption to get their heads on straight and I think really come out flying, which I look at Pittsburgh, and again, I'm amazed that they are where they are and can only imagine they would be much, much stronger getting everybody back healthy.
I agree. You know, I mean, a fresh Crosby and Malkin, I mean, that is as good and as dangerous a duo up front as any in the league. I mean, those are two top 10 caliber forwards when healthy. So getting them fresh for the stretch run, that is a huge break. As you mentioned, Pittsburgh backsliding going into the break. You said 3-7-0. They actually lost their game just before that, so they were actually 3-8-0 in their last 11. Of those eight losses, five of those eight were by three goals or more. So it's not like they were losing close; like they were getting thrashed in a lot of these games. So, I mean, the break comes at a really good time for them to get fresh, get their heads on straight, and go focused into the final push. I mean, I'm still sticking with my Columbus pick. Another thing on Columbus, just, you know, maybe overlooked a little bit, the Blue Jackets, 13-10-11 on the road this year. The 13 road wins were the fewest of any team in either conference that's still in playoff, in any legitimate playoff contention. So now you take a team in Columbus that was really bad on the road, you put them in neutral ice situations instead of true road games. That, you know, that could be a hidden difference there in, you know, as you look at some of these games. Additionally, Columbus is mentioned as one of the potential host sites. So it's not only potentially neutral site, but really playing in their home rink. That's another reason why I agree with you. Pittsburgh, I think, benefits quite a bit from this. Couple other reasons why I think Columbus winds up being the biggest benefactor from this pause.
By the way, Columbus has a mind-boggling 15 overtime points. They're 0-4 in shootouts, so that means that they've lost 11 times in overtime. That's crazy to me, and it's by far the most in the NHL. There are a couple of teams, I think, that hit 12, but wow, 15. Ottawa has 12. Boston has 12. Of the quote-unquote loser points, but 15 for Columbus. What a difference it would make for the Blue Jackets if they just had another win or two. But you know what? So looking at the Metro, Jay, okay, those are two very strong candidates, and I think we both make good cases for teams that are helped by the break. I would also add that Pittsburgh's goaltending really looked like they could use the rest. But give me a team that you think was hurt by this pause.
You know, I don't know if anyone was really hurt too much, but, you know, if you're going to point to a team, maybe the Philadelphia Flyers. I mean, they were about as hot a team as any in the league at the time. So you don't know, like, do they come back and are they a little slow on the comeback, or, you know, or do they just kind of pick up right where they left off? That would be the closest to any team that, you know, that's potentially hurt from this, in my opinion.
I agree with Philadelphia. They are my pick, and for the reasons you enumerated. They had won 9 of 10 heading into the pause. They were just on fire, climbing the standings, playing their best hockey. They had put it together. If you believe they had lightning in a bottle, and I think they did. Any team that wins 9 of 10 is in the middle of something incredible. I think Philadelphia is not able to put it back together. I don't know that Philly misses the playoffs. I'm not saying that with a resumption, especially if they go straight into the playoffs. I will say, however, recapturing that magic, I just don't know if they're going to be able to refind it as quickly as they would like to. So I completely agree with you on your pick of Philadelphia. Anything else you want to add to the Metropolitan Division?
The other thing I will throw in with Philly, and it's an interesting thing to take a look at, it again depends on the structure of how things come back. Philadelphia had more home wins than any team in the league. So if the rest of the way, if everything is a neutral ice game, are they impacted more than anyone else just because of how well they were able to play as a home team? That's something to potentially take a look at, right? You know, some of these teams around the league that have really big home-road splits. So does that wind up potentially hurting Philly moving forward, not playing in front of that great home crowd there in Philadelphia?
And Philly, 25-6-4 at home. Pittsburgh, 23-8-4 at home. And both teams just a smidge over 500 on the road. Meanwhile, guess what? The Rangers were 19-12-3 on the road, which is close to Carolina's 19-13-3, but nobody was as good as the Capitals, 23-10-3 in the Metropolitan Division on the road. Well, let's put a wrap on this one, Jay, shall we? We've got the Atlantic Division to cover in another podcast, and then we'll be doing the Western Conference as well, the Central and the Pacific Division. Anything you'd want to add, any teams you want to kind of look at in the Metro before we call it?
You know, I think we touched on most of the big points here. One thing to potentially look at, Tom, we haven't heard from the league how many teams will end up making the playoffs. That also could wind up, you know, changing how you take a look at some teams. As it relates to the Metropolitan Division, the Islanders, Rangers just off the playoff cut line. If the playoffs get extended to 10 teams in each conference, those teams all of a sudden move just inside the cut line. If it gets expanded to 12, then those teams look like they're just about clinched with the big jump there is there, you know, towards the bottom of the standings in the Eastern Conference. So that's something to potentially we'll learn more about here in the upcoming weeks, you know, how the league intends to handle the playoffs. But I think for the purpose of taking a look at the way things tend to be, eight teams in both, you know, I agree. I like the commentary there on Columbus and Pittsburgh. I'm a little concerned if I'm Philly about the timing of the break, but again, Flyers should be in good shape to make the playoffs. And man, it's exciting. It's good to be able to talk hockey again.
Absolutely, it is. And we will talk hockey more in the Talking Puck podcast. As I mentioned, we're going to cover the Atlantic Division and also both divisions in the Western Conference. So stay tuned. There are more episodes coming your way. He's at Bowtie Sports on Twitter. That's Jay Levin. I'm Tom Callahan at Callahan on Air. Thank you so much for joining us. And don't forget to check out Talking Puck TV every Sunday night at 9 o'clock on Twitch, YouTube, and now Mixer.